This is How to Business in Show Business, where we talk about the business of show, the podcast that discusses ways to work smarter, not harder. If you're a performer at the beginning of your career or a student interested in going into the performing arts, this is the podcast for you. For more about the podcast, you can find our website at businessandshowbusiness.com. There you can learn more about the business of performing arts with coursework, videos with shop talk, and interviews with other professional performers. Now here's your host, Corbett.
And we're back with part two of our conversation with Dr. Solaire talking about continued education. Now, if you have not already done so, go back and listen to part one of our conversation, okay? We're going to pick back up where we left off, and I was reading her resume of the things that she has done. Now, in part two of our conversation, we're going to dive a little... I know I say this every time, but we are going to dive more in depth into this conversation of... if you are in school, why it might be to your benefit to continue on. If you're maybe considering going back, how best to take advantage of that. And if you are transitioning from high school to college, if it's for you, how best to be strategic about what your plan is, okay? Because one of the things that we talk about in part two of this, well, one of the many things we talk about in part two of this conversation is that there is someone who is always more talented than you who is ready to take that spot. When you're in an opportunity setting, when something is being gifted to you, and when the instructor, when the professor, the guest artist, whoever that comes in and says, who wants to go first? And how, if you're not willing to take advantage of that in the real world, how you might have lost out on 3 gigs, because, you know, that's rent, that's food, that's insurance, depending on the union that you're in. But realistically, while you're in the security blanket of education, that is the time to make mistakes. That is the time to learn. That is the time to grow. Because once you transition into being a professional in the adult world, the real world, the professional world, it will not be quite as forgiving. So here is part two of that conversation with Dr. Solaire.
All right, so those are just a few of the roles that you've done. Why so diverse? And was that by your own choosing?
Some, and then some weren't. So that the undergrad that I was at, they switched every other year. So 1 year they would do a classical, like they do an opera. The next year they would do a musical. Mm. And so they would go back and forth.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
All right, now let's bring it to our advice portion for the kiddies.
Oh, my. Advice.
How do you business in show business personally? What lesson has been your saving grace?
I think always remaining a student. Mm. Honestly, If you always remain a student, you're always learning. It's when you start getting cocky, that's when people don't like you, and then you not only like peers, but your audience as well. Mm. That's my opinion.
What lesson was gifted to you about the business that you didn't already know?
How cutthroat it is.
I think it's like... it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, like, because I think that goes to... I mean, even when I remember being an undergraduate student, when you come to a small school, like, whenever... if you're attending a small school, usually you have the best person from every high school, right? And then that's basically you. Right. But you've got, like, depending on how big your program is... you've got so many individuals who are the best at what they do. Mm-hmm. And that's lesson number one of eating some straight humble pie.
Yeah.
Right?
There's always someone more talented than you.
Heck yeah, absolutely. And then why couldn't I be a mezzo? Hello. Or why can't I be a tenor? You know, or crack out like high C sharps like Corbin.
Stop.
You can't.
Wait, quick little side note. Let me tell you guys what happened. So we were, so as you guys know, well, by the time you guys listen to this, months will have passed. But... so I came back home due to Rona, blah, blah, blah. We're working on some material where C is alive. And you were looking at my resume and you're like, why did your thing say B flat 4? I said, what do you mean? Honey, you're singing C sharps.
That's what
C sharps. I was like, no. She goes, come here. Plink, 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 plink. I was like, oh, I guess I am.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and this goes back to my other question, missed opportunities outside of the classroom. What is a missed opportunity undergrads, MFAs, or BFA students are missing when it comes to their time in school? In that safety net, because this is a safety net while they're here.
That's a good question. What are they missing? Well, here, I think it's like, for my students, I think they get so caught up in the regime of being the undergraduate in a liberal arts program that they get a little too comfortable. So they forget what it's like to have to go through the audition process. Yeah. For my kids, every role is given to them because they're the only person here. But I'm only speaking from like UAF's point of view, but if they have to go in audition for like a show or a musical with Flot or something, it doesn't matter if you are this, you know, voice performance major. You're not going to get the role because you can't act or you can't, or you haven't put the time in to prepare your monologue as you did your song.
Right.
So I think it's just a broader horizon of what's out there. Like, just because you're in this little perimeter of this boxed university doesn't mean that there aren't people who are still bigger, better, badder, you know, than you.
How do you run your mock auditions?
Well, I think with mock auditions, they're kind of like juries here. You know, you go in, you sing in front of a panel. So I think that I can relate that to a mock jury. My name is so-and-so. It's just the regiment. My name is such-and-such. I will be singing and then go. But that, no matter what you call them, they're, it's not the same as...
It's not the real thing.
Right!
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
You know, like, there's still, everybody's still in your corner. You need people who are just strangers. And who are going to be, not mean, but real. There's a difference, right?
Reality versus expectation.
Yeah.
What aren't students being taught when it comes to the professional world, when they leave the security blanket?
I think the truth of their actual instrument. I really do. Like, if something is not good, you need to know it's not good. You know, if there's something in that voice that's not working, and I'm speaking as the vocalist, then if you don't believe me, then you're going to learn the hard way. That's usually what I go through in my experiences and patterns here. No matter what I've been preaching over and over and over and over and over again, and if the heels are dug in the ground, then I just stop trying. And that's not me being mean. It's just, you're not hearing me right now. You're not ready to hear that. Now I'm going to need you to go to grad school. And like clockwork. Week three, week two, week three, I get the phone call. Oh my gosh, you were totally right. You think? You know, but they, maybe they were just done hearing it from me.
I just
turned into the nagging mom, you know? And I get it.
Yeah. How can students go the, how can they go the extra, how can students go the extra mile and make the best use of their time?
Get out. Get out and go to a young artist program. Get out, go audition, and let other people hear them outside of this bubble. That's my opinion. Get out. And a lot of them won't do that, especially like the typical Alaskan, I'll say it. They're comfortable. We're comfortable here. You know, students are comfortable. They really are. And they're not ready to hear the real world, which is why I'm saying go do a summer program somewhere.
Yeah.
Go hear from somebody else. Go let somebody else yell at you. Train you. And then come back and show me what you got. Yeah.
What, if anything, can educators do to best prepare their students for the professional world?
Encourage them to get out. I really, if they're here... And some teachers don't like to do that. I don't want anybody to teach my students except for me. I think that's bogus. I really do. Because I mean, you know this. Everybody knows this. Somebody's going to tell you something that really resonated, you know what I mean, for you, than somebody else did.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably the same thing. But it was just said in a different way. But I think teachers, in order to, like, make their students better, it's their job to educate them to go study abroad.
Yeah.
Whether it be state-wise, whether it be internationally or who knows, but just go.
Reality versus expectation, bringing it back. What's a misguided notion students have when studying / training for their major?
That they're always going to get the role. Like, in my humble opinion, go sing in the chorus somewhere. because that's where you're going to learn how to perform. There was one time where I was singing in the chorus, and let me tell you, the lead was not so good in my humble opinion, but I just knew that I knew that I was going to be that one chorus member where that audience couldn't take their eyes off of that back corner. And let me tell you, at the end of every rehearsal, I just cannot take my eyes off of you guys right there. I went, oh, I'm sorry. Not. I was a fierce chorus member. Like, I hope you can keep up.
Oh,
leading lady.
And, oh.
Yeah.
I know you already said about the work never ceasing, but, and I wonder if you can elaborate on this. In what way does the work never cease once they're no longer in this safety net? Like, what... Let me see if I can rephrase this. A proficient working actor or a proficient working professional does not always wait for things to come to them. As you've just said, you know, I think you already talked about this, but, like, South Africa and Brazil and Czech, and, like, you've been to your... That's you actively seeking those things.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I, as an undergrad or a BFA or MFA, where do I start on that? Where do I start in my journey?
I think it's networking, getting out as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Going, the program thing is huge. Like, for us as opera singers, like, we love young artist programs all the way. Go to Chautauqua, go to New York, go do a young artist program here, go do a young artist program there, and you network. And so when you network, you run into all of these other people who do the same thing as you.
Yeah.
And if they're not the same voice type, that's even better because they're always going to need somebody to sing with.
Yeah.
But I think as much as you can put yourself out there, the better.
Mm.
I do.
Now, I want to switch the conversation in terms of specifically geared towards students' education.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's something you and I have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
How should students rein in their focus when it comes to choosing material?
Always check with your teacher and make sure that you have an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to say, no, you can't do that. But I will say, these are the reasons why you're not ready for that.
Yeah.
You're not ready for this. I mean, how many times have you bitten off too much? You know what I mean? Like, more than you can chew. I mean, you know, so it's just nice to have somebody that you trust or some sort of accountability that says, you know, that'd be a great piece, or that you can speak intellectually with.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Mm.
Somebody who has your best interest at heart, whether it be friend, teacher, mentor, coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say, and on that note of, okay, great, so now we've chosen this material, can you talk about what makes your job, because you do play the piano, so you know what I'm referring to. What makes your job easy as an accompanist when you have some music placed in front of you and properly cut and or transposed?
Oh my gosh, I would probably propose to you on the spot.
but you know what I mean.
I do.
Like, I feel as though when you go into an audition room, your accompanist is your saving grace.
Sure.
They're your last and only line of defense.
Sure.
So make your job easier by making their job easier. Can you talk a little about...
I would just love everything laid out. I mean, you do this because you know, and we've worked together, which is really nice. But I'm always waiting for the worst scenario. So if I flip through pages and I see cut here, but then I have to turn 5 pages to the cut. I mean, some people will put a paper clip in and make it a little bit easier. You actually don't, though. Like, you will cut and paste. And if you look at the top of the page, the first page is page 2, and the second page is page 9. And if I didn't see that, I'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But you actually do, and you make sure they all align up.
Yeah.
It's just got to be like reading a book.
Yeah.
You know, no sheet music should be a choose-your-own-adventure book, you know? So if you read a story, you're literally going to read from, like, chapter 1 through chapter whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel like... as an accompanist, it should be as well.
Yeah. And I want to talk about this, dive into this on two fronts, the operatic and then the musical theater. But can we start with the musical theater? And I know I learned this from you, like proper audition cuts.
Right.
So you have your 32, your 16, and your 8. Can we break that down in terms of, okay, great. Let's say you have your 32. That should be your storytelling and show your range.
Right.
What is a no-no when it comes to that? Because if they say, great, it needs to be 32, but yet some people go...
Right. Do not include musical interludes. Nobody want to hear that. Like, they've been hearing this pianist play all freaking day. Nobody wants to hear that crap.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say crap. Don't edit that out. But what I'm saying is nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah.
That's my biggest... When I see... there's like four measures of me just going, I really, mm-hmm. what a waste of time, mm-hmm. where you probably could have shown so much vocally. Mm-hmm. So no instrumental, mm-hmm. no more than like three beats yeah. of an instrumental.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. it should basically give you time enough to breathe.
Yeah.
And then come back in.
Yeah. And so now moving on to 16, which is your range, just literally
right.
from top to finish.
Right.
What is a big mistake when, as you've seen, when people choose material that isn't going to get to the meat of that?
Just when there's just too much of a low point. Yeah. Like, if I want to see the range, I want to see the range. I want you to pick, like, the best 16 measures that gets to your climax mm-hmm. quickly. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
Yeah.
But I've played a lot of 16 measures that, like 16 cut measures, which have just been very plain.
Monotone.
Yep. Yes. Redundant. Mm. Boring.
Yeah.
And then when it's done, I thought, well, what was that?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to be in the chorus. Great. Good. Next.
Yeah. And then when it comes to 8 bars, which is just your money note.
Climax.
Quick and dirty.
Yep. Like you said, quick, dirty.
Yeah.
Climax all the way. Just give me the high.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't make me cry. Done. See, because you did went down and then you went up.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. Have a great day.
Yeah.
8 measures. Boom.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, when it comes to the world of opera, because I don't know too much about this.
Right.
Is the work still the same, or when they say, great, here, we would like, what might a breakdown for an opera singer be as opposed to that of an MT?
An aria.
An aria, okay.
Yeah, an aria. And they can go anywhere from, you know, 3 to 7 minutes, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
But just finding one that just best suits. I mean, I've sang longer ones for auditions, but just because it takes that much longer to get from this to this, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's just an aria. Mm-hmm. But I've never been in a situation where it had to be 32 measures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last thing before we get to the closing, is there anything we missed that you think, yes, there's the printer going in the background.
Yes,
is there anything that you think that we missed that should be included in a student's education in our conversation?
You know, just making sure that you actually take time to enjoy the performance. I think for everybody, like, we always super overanalyze everything that we sing mm-hmm. or that we perform. But then at some point in time, you have to let go of that and sing and enjoy what you hear.
Yeah.
And it's actually okay to do that,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Because think about it. I always say to my students, you are in a discipline where nobody is ever going to say to you, great, that was wonderful. You're ready to record.
That's true.
That's like never going to happen.
That's true.
That's the first thing I say. I'm never going to say that.
Yeah.
So the sooner you know that, the more you'll improve. Mm-hmm. But nobody's ever going to say, perfect, you're ready to record. Mm. Never. That's just the discipline. It's a little dysfunctional and twisted. Mm. But when you work, then it becomes fun, in my opinion. Mm. Yeah.
Closing
and
it out.
This generation, sorry, before we close out. But this generation doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
It's true.
No.
As I sit here and I think about the students that I have, they want you to say they're amazing. Mm. All the time. That's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that needs to be taught more.
I think it's a hard pill to swallow, especially when society and or your parents, I don't want to say feed you a lie, but
sure.
But they don't push you to be better in the sense that this is, one, a competitive world and no one cares about excuses.
Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, if we can talk about just a little quickly. Being a student, because I remember when you took me on,
right.
which was a very rare thing, because you only had
right.
me and one other girl from high school. Because you never. Just because, I'm paraphrasing what you said, it's not that we didn't have the temperament, but we did not have the maturity.
Right.
And to work at the college level.
I was a hothead back in the day. She was such a hothead. I mean, it kind of am, but it comes with a little bit of, you know, sarcasm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah.
All right. What would mature you say to younger you at the beginning of your career?
Say that again?
What would mature you say to younger you at the beginning of your career?
Dang, Corbin. What would mature me say to younger me? Oh, honey. That is what... Can we go to the next question now? Oh, honey. If you only knew. I don't know. Mature me now would say take more time out for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, enjoy life a little bit better, a little bit more. I was in a weird zone. Like, I didn't, I mean, so overly focused that it didn't, I had no life. I didn't enjoy life. I didn't until I came up here and I was no longer in school. I don't know if that's because of my type A.
Yeah.
But enjoy life more. It's not that serious. It's not that serious. But it is, yeah. But it's not. It's okay to have fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Professional and private, what does the future look like for you going forward?
I really want to just be the advocate. I don't want to be on stage anymore. I don't want to, there are younger and cuter people to get up there and do that. Mm-hmm. I have no, but I tell you what, I'm loving sitting at the piano and playing and still being a part of it, mm-hmm. but supporting.
Yeah.
I love doing that. Even I do that at my church.
Mm.
You know, like I play one Sunday a month. But I don't have a huge desire to be like on stage singing. Mm-hmm. No thanks. Been there, done that. But I love sitting at the piano and supporting that. It's a lot of fun.
Wow.
Different kind of fun.
Before I ask my last question, I remember what I wanted to ask. Can you talk, and I can't remember the story that you told me, or maybe just an analogy you were saying. When you're in a class setting or when you're in a workshop setting, when someone asks you who wants to go first, can you tell that story or just that analogy
you're
again?
You're like, you're totally poking the bear right now. Corbin, I cannot stand when I sit in my master class and I say, okay, who's next? And everybody goes like this. Do you know what I did last semester? I packed up my stuff and I walked out. Because everybody was doing this. Notice it was very quiet. They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So when somebody says, I mean, I was never in master class when I was in school. Who's going today? 25 hands just went up. And they're all like this. We were all like this. Mm-hmm. So I come, I have my master classes with my students. Okay, who's singing today? And I get these like half-raised hands. I don't have time for that. Bye. Time is money. Got to go. Mm-hmm. I got swim practice to go to with my kid.
Yeah.
And she actually likes going to the pool. So I think a lot of that has to do with initiative. And unfortunately, that is even tied into your personality. Mm-hmm. You know? So I'm very honest with my students. Like I said before I go on, before I say that, last semester, when I looked around, and I promise you, it was maybe about 10, 15 seconds. Think about that. If you look at the clock and you clock 10 to 15 seconds of not saying anything, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. It's a long time.
Yeah.
So that's the time that went. Who's going to sing today? And everybody just kind of looked around. They all had something to sing. But you want to know what I did? I got up. I took my bag. I put my coat on. And I walked out. Let's go, Juge. Time to go to practice. And I left them all there. Lorna as well. And I did not turn back. I didn't. It was a very bold move, but what a waste of time. I mean, come on, you don't agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, my thing is if we're here to work, we're here to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I know. It's kind of hard. It's cutthroat, isn't it?
Well, the world's not going to be...
Exactly. And so that's part of the training to get them through, like, out of this building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to beg you for you to do your job. That's just stupid.
Mm.
You know, it really is.
Because
nobody else is going to do that. And if you don't want to get up and then take the initiative and be ready to go, somebody else is and you're just not going to be able to pay your rent. It's true.
Yeah.
But I've said that even to my own students. This is what I was going to say before. Like, I don't bid well with my personality, not necessarily me, but my personality does not bid well with other personalities that are very, personalities that make excuses for why they can't do something. Personalities who are very, I always say, especially to my women, because I'm a woman, so I'm harder on the women, on my females, and they call me on that. You let the boys get away with anything. It's because I love them more. Great. Okay. So anyways, but yeah, we do. But I don't like the meek and lowly mild personality. Mm-hmm. My personality, I have a lot of friends who are like that, but work-wise, my personality does not bid well with those personalities. Mm-hmm. I say that right at the very beginning. Because this is a career slash business that you can't do that. If you sit back for 1 second, you've missed 3 gigs.
Yeah.
Like, you've missed 3 golden opportunities. But good for you, because your loss is another person's gain.
Yep.
So, yeah. I feel like I just ended on a Debbie Downer
No,
moment.
I mean, well, okay. No.
Sing and be pretty. Yay, go get them.
Well, and that's one of the things that I talk about so frequently is the reality versus the expectation. Yeah, yeah. And that this is, and you and I, we've had many candid, because I called you when I was in New York.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, yep. Dang, you weren't lying. You weren't lying. Because it's hard. Mm-hmm. And there is someone who's ready yep. right behind you.
Yep.
So if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But also, you have to do the groundwork for yourself.
Bingo.
Now, last question.
Okay.
Where can the people find you on social media?
Facebook. Instagram. I just got a TikTok account. I shamelessly stay up till 2 a.m. every morning watching TikTok. But can I just... Okay, I'll get back to TikTok. I have a website, and I haven't even been on my website in a hot minute, but it does let me know when somebody notifies me or mm-hmm. wants something or they email me. But I think that's about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I hesitated getting the TikTok account because I thought, I cannot check one more platform.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really nice to also stay... I feel like if you're an educator, you are obligated. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but we are kind of obligated to stay in tune with those kids, you know, and just make sure that we, and it's a pain in the neck. But if you're teaching, I feel like we're obligated to do that, because at least we're always learning, staying in the know, and we're not outdating ourselves in the classroom, because they won't respect us if we do that.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you're notified when a new episode is posted. Rate and review this podcast, and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on next week's episode of How to Business in Show Business.